You want the best for your child. K-12 can help them gain the skills they need to reach their full potential while giving you the support you need to get them there. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Their state-certified teachers make online learning interactive and engaging, allowing your child to learn at their pace from the safety of home. Join the more than 2 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
Oh, what are you doing? I'll tell you what you're doing. You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Either you are, or I'll be skipping rope with your entrails. Ta-ta.
This podcast is brought to you by our patrons at patreon.com/Elder Scrolls Lorecast. Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the amazing universe of the Elder Scrolls. Adventurers, welcome back to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. I love doing the intro live because it's like I'm talking, but I'm not actually talking. While we're all, our faces are just on the camera. This is a show where we talk about all sorts of crazy stuff having to do with the Elder Scrolls and the lore of the Elder Scrolls. I'm your host, Tom, or Robots. I'm here with my wonderful co-host for the first time in like months that he's been able to join us for a patron episode. Lotus
years
of Doom.
Even.
Years even. Our patrons are so excited to actually see you and talk to you again, Lotus.
It was kind of funny. It seemed like basically with 3 minutes to show start, it was becoming more of a problem as I lost power to a thunderstorm that hopefully will not be getting picked up on mic. Most weird sound effects outside directly neighborhood fireworks don't seem to get picked up, but
it sounds all right. Nothing's coming through so far.
Pleasant outside right now. So if I mysteriously disappear for like a couple minutes while everything reboots again, it's because something blew up.
Yeah. Well, good luck. I hope nothing blows up on you. But we've fortunately have a cast of other characters to do a lot more talking. So it's not just you and I this week. Our patrons are back. It's the end of the month. And we are discussing our favorite non-Daedric princes, powers, gods, whatever you want to call them. Because we've been doing a whole lot of talking about Daedric princes lately. So we're talking about things that aren't Daedric princes and why they might be our favorites. So let's go through and introduce everybody. Ben of Temeria is back. Ben, welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, glad to have you. And then we have Rob the Princess joining us.
Hello.
Hello, Rob the Princess. And
I'm
T-Rex.
Pretty swell.
You're good. Well, that's great. T-Rex is back as well. She's in a very dark room worshiping Sithis, I think.
Yes, Namira. Yes.
Or Namira.
Primal darkness, Sithis. Namira.
Yep. Hail Sithis. And that other voice is Captain. Can I call you Captain Baylis? How about Professor Baylis?
Yeah, I'm
Captain Professor.
Not big on boats.
Yeah, well,
you can call me Lord Professor.
Lord Professor.
Well, it's also, I mean, we're still in the High Isle expansion.
That's true.
Captain's on brand, at least.
I think that's where my brain must be. But then
we had this discussion before. I'm not a big fan of the beach, boats, none of that.
This is the pre-show
not
stuff.
Not very seafaring.
Yeah.
Nah.
Yeah. This is why you need to show up for the pre-show stuff.
My ancestors might have been, but no.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, thank you, Lord Baylis. And then we have Siege Bro. Siege Bro's back. Hey, Siege Bro, how's it going?
Pretty good. Finally got my patron shirt.
Nice.
I'm feeling pretty fresh.
Oh, well, that's the added bonus of those shirts is they have an extra fresh component. I paid a little bit extra so that was bundled
to
in.
To include freshness.
Yep. And then
the design of my Azura one's coming off, starting to like peel off because I wear it so much.
Oh, no.
Good Lord.
How much do you wear it?
You've worn off the freshness.
I mean, I've like for the 9 months or so, like probably 11 months now that I've had it, I wear it pretty consistently, like including to work.
Nice.
I'm really worried it's going to start happening to the Boethia one soon, because that's like,
turn it inside out when you put it in the dryer. It preserves the shirt.
There you go. Yeah, anything with print on it will wear out if you wash it enough. But then we have one more before we talk too much about the shirts and stuff. We've got Falcon with a box or box on joining us as well. Falcon, welcome back.
Hello.
So guys, we're talking non-Daedric princes here. This could go in so many different places. Would one of you like to kick us off? Do we want to? I mean, I know the professor has a deeper concept for us, and we did some debating ahead of time as just to like, does this qualify? And ultimately, I was like, well, some of those theories they kind of include what some people.
I had to completely change what I was originally going to say.
Yeah, there
I'm
was
no longer going to be talking about the great spirits of the Reach. I'm talking about your boring divines.
Well, that's what I guess that's where we have to go.
There's a lot of other stuff to talk about other than the Daedric princes and the divines. There's like, you know, seven other pantheons at least.
Yeah.
Like what, the fat mother goddess of the needs? Would you like to talk about that?
Beehives.
Beehives.
Exactly.
Beehives. It is. Well, who wants to kick us off? Who has a definite idea of...
I can start.
All right, T-Rex, kicking us off.
Well, of course, Hail Sithis.
Hail Sithis.
Yeah, so, it.
I mean,
to the surprise of no one.
No, it's not surprising at all. I absolutely, outside of the Daedric princes, like that is my go-to, of course.
So
I
like
the Dark Brotherhood.
So we're talking like the Dark Brotherhood, their and conception of Sithis.
And not just the Dark Brotherhood, but I also love... And I'm not a big Argonian play. I've never actually played an Argonian, but I absolutely love the concept of the Shadow Scales.
The Shadow Scales are really cool.
Yes.
Murder. Secret murder.
And just, yeah.
That's just what you're into.
Secret murder, the void. I mean, he's awesome. And I also kind of have like a few more that I kind of like outside of that. Like Ifray, the Green Lady and the Sylvanar, and then of course the Tribunal. But those are kind of my like
those
throw
are
in there.
That's your list. That's your list.
Yeah.
So when it comes to Sithis, do you go with like a Dreadfather perspective on Sithis? Are you like Sithis is such a mysterious thing? You know what I'm saying? Like,
Sithis
according
is nothing.
Sithis is nothing, and yet still
the
something.
The primordial concept of the void in and of itself.
But yet the void is still like active in the world somehow and has a will. Like,
I mean,
it's this weird. Yeah.
Of course, since I always am a part of the Dark Brotherhood, no matter what Elder Scrolls game that I play, he is the Dreadfather. And. I mean, yeah, I mean, he is the void. He is like everything to me.
Okay.
Sit the simp, I see.
I guess.
So is this like a common thing for you? The whole, like, is it because of the dark and spooky thing? Is that like, were you going to like goth concerts in your teenage years? Like, is this like a deep seated,
no.
like, or is it more about just like, I like this sneaky stabby brotherhood thing? Like,
I like the sneaky stabby brotherhood thing.
So it's not even a universal like thing you just enjoy. It's kind of just very specifically like this, you know, this IP in general, this one thing is kind of like that. That's like your hook into the series type of deal.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yes. I don't know what it is. Like any game that I play, I'm always like the sneaky stabby type of player. And so it naturally, you know, the Dark Brotherhood and Sithis fall in line with that. So.
Sure. I mean, there's a literal cult / guild built in game around your play style. So I guess that is kind of probably a natural fit then.
Yeah. And I guess I also love the fact that like, it's so the Dark Brotherhood and especially Sithis, they're so like mysterious and like, I don't know. It's hard to explain.
In the dark.
Yeah.
Everything's
like,
in the dark.
Like me right now.
Yeah. So a side note here, there is a mod that came out for Skyrim VR that allows you to grab things in the environment, including other people, and like hold them and move them around and stuff. And weapons now actually hit things and create force and sort of knock people around, which means that if you're doing like sneaky stabby, you can go behind people and like cover their face, their mouth, and then just like stab them in the head or whatever. It is intense. I couldn't get it to work. I tried installing it today, but
just one thing, I've seen ESO Danny do his like VR stuff in Skyrim, and it's so funny because he always has Lydia as his as his person, and he just like, he'll just like reach out and like caress her face, and he's like,
right.
Sweet Lydia. Creepy.
Yeah. When I play, I always boot people's noses. Like, they're like, I need you to go on this very important quest. It's going to be dangerous, and I'm like, you got it, buddy. Boop. Just move on. So, all right. Anything else about Sithis you want to share before we move on to our next guest, or anybody have any questions about Sithis?
Yeah, if anyone has any questions, go ahead.
All hail Sithis.
About her particularly, you know, enjoyment of it. Nobody.
I mean, it kind of makes sense when you're saying that it's just like, if that's a, you know, if that's your play style, so to speak, the fact that this series has something that kind of links into your play style as like a major factor to the series kind of seems like it's almost like designed for you. Cause like, it's one of those things you didn't even need to necessarily adapt to, like, oh, I was looking for a guild and this one's most closely related to me. It seems like if that's your interest already, the fact that that's in the series is kind of like, oh, well, okay, cool. I guess I've already found my home and I didn't even need to look for it.
And it's cool too, because like, that was the first and really the only game that I've found something like that. I don't play a whole lot of video games, but like this series, like having that in it, it's like perfect. This one is my home.
One of the few games that embraces the murder hobo of the players.
Yeah, for real.
Yep.
Yeah. There's absolutely.
Quite a few that do that, but not a whole lot.
Yeah. And there's even different like flavors of murder hobo in Elder Scrolls as well. So
that's true.
I'm quite the murder hobo, but I really can't be bothered with the stealth aspect. So it's just like, all right, that's fine. I'll go with the just loud murder hobo approach.
It still counts as stealth if no one lives to see it.
That's also valid. I very rarely have to carry a bounty because no one remains to tell anybody about it. So
that's actually a good question for T-Rex. What's your favorite way to
method of murder
Sithis?
Yeah.
You know, do you kill everyone or do you kill who was selected? Like, how do you honor Sithis?
Do you make it look like an accident?
Well, if I'm just like going around, I'm just, if I'm
just,
if I'm
murdering everybody,
of course I'm
walking down the street just like Blade of Wolf, like, you and Blade of Wolf,
yeah,
you.
In
the, handing out like candy.
Literally in Skyrim, that's all I would do. I would like just sneak up behind and be like, and then, and in ESO too, but like, I don't, and I really like the Litany of Blood aspect of the ESO, because I mean, that's a really cool concept.
Mm-hmm.
Just so, going around finding somebody with a special eyeball.
Right. So, okay, so here's what I want. I would love for you to do a series where you play Skyrim and you just try to murder everybody.
But you can't.
Well, you try to kill everyone you can.
It gets sad, okay, man.
So it gets real sad.
You can remove an essential status from most NPCs.
Well, you can try. Some of them are like ingrained. Like, as,
yeah,
you know,
there's a majority of them you can do that.
There you go.
But
cough, more
did it with the kids.
Yeah. Just murder
all
everybody.
That's left is like a handful of NPCs that you couldn't take the essential status off, and just the guards that keep respawning.
Yeah.
And so you're going to have more people to keep killing, which is great.
It's just sad.
It's very sad. All right. So we need to move on because otherwise the show's going to be forever. So does anybody else pick Sithis? Did anyone else go, Sithis is on my list too. Oh, yeah. Ben of Temeria.
A technicality.
I mean, Dark Brotherhood.
That's another Dark Bro. Brotherhood.
Okay, so same question to you. What's your enjoyment of that? Again, were you going to like goth shows as a teenager? Or?
So growing up, I mean, I loved the Assassin's Creed series. So
okay,
I fell in love with that. I was on the history aspect of it. Okay.
Well, you did say you were in band.
Ugh.
Wait, is there a connection between what? Liking Assassin's Creed and people who are in
a
band?
I'm sorry, this is a Gen Z thing. The band kid meme is like...
Oh, I was like, wait, so are
I'm sorry.
Band, are band members like assassins? I had no idea.
No, the band kid meme is like, oh, they're like the big history nerd. They know all about that stuff. And then they watch a certain Minecraft YouTuber
who
didn't show his face.
Band kids are coming for you.
I don't know about the whole Minecraft.
Don't know about that.
Like the guy with the green and the mask.
All right. No. Back on the topic, the Ben.
Anyway,
let's get back to Ben's perspective on this. Ben, so why else do you love the Dark Brothers? Dark Bubs.
Just like T-Rex. I like the whole sneaky stabby type of gameplay. That's mainly that, and then I like the mystery of everything, how they're known but they're also not known throughout the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're laughing at me because I said Dark Brothers. Because that sounds like it could be something else.
I'm trying not to laugh at it. It's kind of a funny slip.
Aren't they the Dark Brotherhood? It's Dark Bros. It's cool.
Dark Bros.
Dark Broskies.
So the sneaky stabby. Okay, so here's a question. Most people, when they play like Skyrim, for example, and they're doing sneaky stabby stuff, what they're really doing is sneaky bowy stuff. Like sneaky shooty, really, right? Like very few people actually like get right up on people with a dagger.
Wait, really?
Is that like I think most people, because that's the whole meme. Most people,
I mean, yeah, the stealth archer,
because it's easier.
You're actually like going in, like doing it, like legit, like you actually care, and you're not just like playing it to like play it.
I think that's still a minority. I think that's a minority. Ben, do you go up behind people? Do you like max out like the dagger damage and like kill people up close?
I max out both.
Yeah, but do you go for the dagger first, or do you shoot from a distance and then?
It depends on the target.
Okay.
Based.
So
yeah,
it really depends on the target. Like I took, like playing Assassin's Creed. Like depending on what happens in that game, like if my target's too far away, I'll just use. Depending on which game, I use a crossbow or the hitting gun or whatnot, or I'll just go up behind them, stab them, and duck in an alley.
Yeah, clean off the blood. Move on.
Yeah.
So is there anything about Scythus specifically that you think is particularly interesting, or
how Scythus is more like you said earlier, it's a void, but still like alive.
Yeah. So, it's like there's a personality somehow.
Yeah. That concept of nothing being something is just intriguing in itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to wonder if that's just the limitations of, like, say, we as mortals in our imagination, like, we want to personify things
mm-hmm.
all the time. So is it actually representative of Scythus itself, or is it just a mortal way of explaining things and putting some sort of, face to it, intentionality? Yeah. Anybody else have any other questions about Scythus?
Scythus was an anime girl. What would it look like? We're talking about personifying things that aren't personified, and when you look at like what the mm-hmm. internet does, they just turn it into an anime.
Rob, there's this
black hair, real dark eye shadow.
There we go.
Literally an anime pale about skin. They make the Lovecraftian eldritch god Nyarlathotep into an anime girl.
There we go. Everything's into an anime girl these days.
There you go.
Back in the day. That was like early 2000s. That's just a classic, dude.
Okay.
It's a trend. It's a classic trend now. It's just the way we are as people.
And now, like we have didn't somebody make like a? They made the Earth into one, and then it just went downhill from
I'm
there.
I'm pretty sure they've made the like coronavirus into an anime girl. Anyways, we're getting off topic.
This is a wonderful rabbit trail. But Ben, I think we're ready to move on to somebody else. So
they
we got two
Arthanax into one.
Two people who are big into Scythus. Anybody else?
Mine is Scythus.
Falcon is also okay. So same questions. Lots of Scythus love. Okay, so tell us about why you're into Scythus, and then also your sneaky stabby playstyle.
So like the chaos aspect of it all, the change it bring it. Yeah, I'll go for it.
It's fine.
Brings
sure.
them always works if you're not
them.
Sure.
Yeah, Chaos and change they bring to everything with it for Sith, this is killing everyone to send to the void for to bring their change. Yeah, just the chaos I like.
Chaos. So when you play and you're doing your sneaky stabby stuff, we just had the debate about bows getting up in close.
So I think daggers are way more fun than bows. Bows are the easy way out. Mm-hmm. So depending on the target, you use the dagger, kill them, and then I drag them to the most public place I can find.
I thought you were going to say to like a secret little hidey hole, like a corner or under a bush.
Just but you're make like, it as known as I can.
Wow. So you're like, you like bring them out into the square. Yeah. So you just bring them out into the middle of the square and just like, anybody else want some?
Like drag Narfia across the river in Tiberstead?
Oh my God.
Wow.
Don't bring Narfia into this.
Wow.
I get emotional every time.
How do you feel about that one Lucien Lachance line where he says, dear brother, I do not spread rumors. I create them. Mm. You vibe with that?
That's a good one.
Absolutely. It sounds like what Falcon is doing here. That Skyrim VR mod, you can also pick people up and sling them over your shoulder in order to like haul them around. Yeah, so you could murder people and then just like carry them around and then dump them somewhere.
Like, leave Narfi like alone.
NVR.
Nobody said it was Narfi anymore. You're the one who's still thinking about him.
So
let it go, man.
So any other things, Falcon? Any other reasons or comments on this?
Nothing. The other ones didn't cover already. Just be repeating them.
Gotcha. Well, that's cool. I mean, Sith is cool. We've got three dark brotherhood murderers among us. Good to know that we could, if we need you, summon you to kill the person trying to kill us.
I'll be loyal, so I won't like come after you, but I will assist you if you need it.
I appreciate that. Well, tell you what, we've gotten through like half of the group. Why don't we take a quick break to thank you guys, our patrons, and then we'll be right back.
So how sure are you that your personal information is safe across the internet, across all of the accounts that you have, from your Gmail account to your Facebook page to your Twitter or X or whatever you call it, or anywhere else you log on online? How sure are you that you're safe? Well, according to a study in 2022, the number of identity theft victims, and this is a few years ago, increased from the previous year 41.5%, and it's only getting worse. And that's why I'm happy that today's sponsor is Incogni. They access the data broker sites directly, and anytime your information shows up because they monitor it, they pull it down. You can't keep the big sites from getting hacked ever, but you can definitely keep your information safe after that happens. And it's easy. You create an account, you give them the right to work for you, and then you just sit back and they take care of it. So head over to incogni.com right now and check out how easy it is to keep your information safe. So get 60% off right now. Use my code ElderScrollsLorecast. All one word, ElderScrollsLorecast. Again, that's incogni.com, incogni.com. Previously, when I mentioned Mint Mobile, I mentioned how easy it is to switch to them, how easy it is to sign up, and it seriously is. One of the things that drives me nuts is dealing with companies. You know how it is. Every time you go to get an upgrade or change your phone or change your plan or anything like that, it's always a mess, and it's full of so many convoluted little details. Mint Mobile makes it so much easier, and it's only $15 a month with the purchase of a 3-month plan. So do like I did and stop having to deal with all the terrible companies out there. Switch to Mint Mobile. Go to mintmobile.com/scrollslore right now to get 3 months for only $15 a month. And that includes their unlimited plan. Also, they're on the nation's largest 5G network, so you're always going to have good signal and the best quality available. To get the new customer offer right now and your 3-month premium wireless package for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/scrollslore. That's mintmobile.com/scrollslore. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/scrollslore. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3 months plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for further details.
This is Hamish Morak, Dragonborn, and you are educating yourself to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast.
All right, so here we are in the middle of the show. We get to thank our patrons, all of these guys who help support the show and make this something that I can do full time. Thank you so very much. I very, very much appreciate it. I'm so glad that you're able to join me for the chat as well. And everyone else who supports the Patreon, including our newest patron, Aiden W. Welcome to the Patreon. That means we're up to 109. We've got ourselves like a little village going on here. 109 patrons. And a big shout out to our Daedric Princes, Mr. Gami Boy, Kira, Noodle Al Dente, and Riverwood Chicken. It's going to be a quick little middle of the show this week. We don't have any new reviews to read out, but if you'd like to drop us one of those on Apple Podcasts, I'll read it out in the future. And ratings on Apple Podcasts and Spotify are extremely beneficial. So thank you to everyone who takes time to do that. All right, let's move on with the rest of the show.
You're listening to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast, dear child of Sithis. That is why the Night Mother loves you.
Well, that is why.
Yeah, this one was speaking right to you guys. All right, who wants to move on from Sithis? We've got three of you guys who haven't gone yet. I feel like the professor's got a lot to say, some interesting stuff. Should we just move on with the professor?
Mine's actually kind of tying in, mostly because...
I was going to say, I'm waiting for misdirection, mm-hmm. and just spoiler alert, literally everyone has said this.
Everybody said this. All right, well, Lord Professor, why don't you take us on a journey here, a journey of the mind.
Well...
using words and language and your mouth.
As we all know, as I hope we all know... I hope enough of us know, rather. The direct spawn of the primordial forces of Stasis and Change, Anu and Padme are Anu-El and Sithis. Each of them directly spawns Ariel, the beginning of order and time, in the Arbus, who became the elven ancestor god of the elven ancestor gods, as opposed to Lorcan, the spawn of Sithis. Lorcan, as well as his very interesting relationship with Ariel, and for the sake of ease, I'll just say Akatosh, for the sake of ease, I should say Ariel. Their dichotomy is pretty damn interesting, especially when you consider in the standard Imperial faith, there seems to be quite a bit of overlap between the two. And should I... pause for a second before I go into that bit.
Do you want to answer some questions about that, or you want to just take us on a little journey?
If there's a specific clarification, I can.
So Ariel and Akatosh are just different interpretations of the same god, is what you're getting at, right?
More that one of them is comprised of elements of the other. My perception, my understanding, is that Akatosh is an imperial creation which is meant to simplify and kind of fuse certain aspects of both Shor, as in Lorcan, and Ariel in the process of Alicia making the Eight Divines Pantheon for the sake of compromise between her old Mary worshipping subjects, the Needs, and the few elves who, not few, but the portion of the alien civilization who supported her, and the Nords, who she also very much had to keep satisfied following her rise to power. The thing is, if you really look into a lot of what's attributed to Akatosh in the histories you'll see of Alicia's rebellion, a lot of those things don't really add up for a god who would be directly considered an alternate version of an elven deity, specifically sending an aspect of Lorcan or Shor Ashezarine in the form of Pelennor Whitestrake, who is quite literally composed of a diamond made as a result of a drop of Lorcan's blood falling from his heart as it flew across the sky into Red Mountain, or into where Red Mountain would eventually come from. And furthermore, it doesn't make as much sense to me that the Handmaiden of Kine in Mara would be sent by Akatosh as opposed to Kine being supported by her husband, supporting the rebellion of humans for liberty from the elves. All of it seems to point a lot more towards Shore having a stronger connection to this initial rebellion. To the point where I think that realistically, considering just our basic understanding that history, any text written, the author has a specific intention where a lot of these texts would be altered to contain a more time-appropriate name. Whatever god originally was conceived by Alessia before being mostly broken down by the Marikati Selectives in their breaking of the dragon in the middle of dawn, seemingly comprised of a lot more aspects combining the two than primarily just being an elven or human god.
Sorry, is there a dog in the background?
Yeah, there is.
Because there's a lot of Foley work happening. I'm trying not to crack up
so,
while you're talking about this. Go ahead, Rob.
I've never really associated a lot of what you're talking about with Akatosh. It's like Akatosh is like a mannish perspective of Ariel. And so it's going to have some mannish things about it, which might resemble Shore and Lorcan, I guess. But I've never seen it supposed to be tied to Shore or Lorcan directly. That's just kind of always been its separate thing. There have been the divines, and there's been Lorcan, who is not a divine, but is still kind of seen as another god.
Yeah, it's kind of a chicken and an egg thing. I think you guys are onto some very interesting things here. Like anything that a mannish race is going to do to be talking about a deity that is a derivative of the elven pantheon is going to have pro-mankind qualities. Mm-hmm. Who has pro-mankind qualities? Lorcan. So did that happen because in the meta situation of it, all those two things fused? Or did that happen from a cultural perspective in that mankind wasn't going to worship a deity unless they imposed on it the belief that it was pro-mankind, right?
I believe that in this situation, we can't specifically say mankind as a whole because it's more of a compromise between the groups of the liberated Nedic slaves of Cyrodiil who followed the elven pantheon imposed by the Aelids, bar obviously the Daedra, who presumably led to the hedonism which developed into the horrific tortures that was forced upon them, as opposed to the very traditional Nordic pantheon the Nords would have followed, which is seemingly what Alessia needed to combine with the traditional elven pantheon to make her original concept of the Eight Divines.
I guess my disagreement with you is also in agreement with you because you're agreeing that like it doesn't make too much sense to pin that to Akatosh, and I agree because I would say it is more pinned solely to Shore or Lorcan themselves and not as much to Akatosh.
I think it's just a bit of a misunderstanding. The point I'm trying to make is that I find Akatosh very intriguing because it seems to be a synthesis of lots of ideas which are needed to be a symbol of the empire in and of itself, but can't be directly included as the primary deity for a cosmopolitan group who is meant to be unified and not subjugating one group over the other and not favoring either human, mannish, or
Right. I get where you're going with this. I think that,
there's also one more detail that I would like to bring upon.
Sure. But on a meta level, I think that the reason why this kind of question even exists is because the lore was written backwards and was adjusted over time through many, many games by many, many authors. So the complexity that we can see in all this, I think, is probably not necessarily intentional. It's just that you had lots of people contributing to baking this thing almost in reverse.
Well, yeah, obviously, but it's more fun to think about it as in its own historical context.
Sure, sure, sure.
I mean, the one thing just like before you jump into your next point, just kind of off what you just mentioned, which is one of the things I like about the writing of the series, is because it has so many authors honestly, sometimes they could just have completely different directions to go with because they have whatever they have in mind for writing. Like this is out of like literally in game and more of like actually crafting the series from like a real world fourth wall breaking perspective. Everybody's going to have their story they're trying to tell for whatever reason. But because the series has been around so long and it's been kind of adapted by so many different writers, it has this unique thing where in like our real world, we essentially are all part of the writing team to the stories that go through for anecdotes and, you know, these long fables, whatever you want to, you know, whatever you want to adopt. It's different writers that make it, which is weird because this series, which is a work of fiction, is made by people from the real world writing different perspectives in the fiction to craft the fiction. So it's like oddly mimicking our real world in the way the stories are being told. Mm-hmm. So this idea of it, like with it not having a definitive answer, like we were saying, it's like, well, I don't necessarily see it like this, or I do understand what you're saying from this perspective and stuff like that. It's kind of interesting because that's such a real world thing where you have to try to get in the headspace of who was actually writing it. So it's a weird situation where it's like these cultures in the series who crafted these stories so that they would mesh with their lives and the people like that are also being written by different groups of people doing the exact same thing. So it gets like real meta head trippy type of thing when you think of it like that.
Right. It's kind of like reading a, like one of Grimm's fairy tales. If you actually read the text from Grimm's fairy tales, they were compilations of stories that were passed down by word of mouth over centuries and centuries and centuries.
Right.
So in one story that comprises maybe three or four pages of a, you know, a modern day book, different paragraphs will have been influenced by different traditions over centuries. So you have like a pagan tradition talking about like a talking broom and how that's completely normal. And then all of a sudden the paragraph after that will talk about how the talking broom is the devil. And because now all of a sudden the Christians showed up and they're cramming their stuff in. So what's cool about what you're talking about, Lord Professor, is that you're kind of, it's almost like you're peeling back the layers of these different groups and their roles and the way that they were either seeing or writing about these deities in order to better fit their time and their culture or their agenda. And that kind of is inherent to the series in a way, simply because of, like Lotus is saying, the way it was crafted over time by the writers.
It actually, which is a natural result of the primary method of storytelling being the unreliable narrative.
Right. Yeah. It makes it very, it's one of the things that I guess either people really are just like, ah, this is too,
it's the make or break for whether or not you like it.
Bail on it or yeah. like it's the difference it's between like, oh, this is super fascinating. I love this stuff.
It's the difference between like, FromSoft lore versus like the Elder Scrolls lore. Like there is like definitive sources for this. So you don't have to make interpretations of something vague. You have to decide who you believe.
Sure.
And maybe all of them are parts. Maybe all of them are not 100% right.
Exactly.
Right.
Which is probably the most realistic way of going about it, by taking as much of the grains of truth from one thing as you can, piecing it together.
Yeah.
It's unlikely that anybody is the full truth.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cool stuff.
I do have one more point though that I think ties into my idea that Akatosh is basically just an amalgamation of ideas, which is meant to solidify the Imperial faith as a general, as a good enough stand-in that most Tamrielic groups could find some logic in it. In that, if we acknowledge that even before the Elven influence, most of those needed groups presumably had their star worship, whatever they had there. Presumably, it may have, and unsurprisingly, since this is coming from me, probably had some relations to Reach worship, where the god they revere for order and stasis and functions actively going through being Periite as the dragon imagery, which also ties in with the order of Akatosh being the aspect of time in the present, where the whole idea of the three stages being Ariel of the beginning, Akatosh of the present, and Alduin as the end, ties in with the time god for the Nords. You can really kind of see the ordered stasis and functionally continuing, really tying in perfectly with the two-faced dragon god. I find Akatosh very interesting just because of all these ways that you can tie it together just with these minor things that probably some writers thought to themselves, like, I'll honestly bet you some guy writing in the writing team behind Daggerfall just thought, oh, our time god's kind of a dragon. let's make this like or this orderly god who does like natural things like the cycles and stuff like that. Let's make him a dragon. That'd be cute.
Yeah, they're kind of similar.
That right. entire rant that I went on.
Right, right. They're similar enough. And then, and then a decade later,
tied together so well.
A decade later, two or three other writers on some minor quests or whatever have contributed stuff. And they're like, well, let's take that and flesh it out a little bit. But let's not really tell anyone else and let's not make it a main focus of any of the games. And then all of a sudden Skyrim comes on and we're like, oh, now we've got dragons and Alduin. Okay, well, let's flesh out a little bit more. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's cool how all those kind of layers intersect.
And the one other funny little thing I'd like to point out that I think is my last point to why I say I'm like 99% sure that if you were to speak to Alessia at that time, before any of the dragon break that occurred through the actions of the Marikati Selective, initially, it was probably sure is because in being sent by the Divines, the two heroes that were sent to her, one being Morehouse, the other being Pelennel, Morehouse, when he first sees Pelennel, greets him as uncle, which makes sense because Pelennel being the alternate aspect of Shore, who is, in that belief, Kine's husband. So being just sort of like a parallel to the father figure, it's just kind of like the nail in the coffin for me that just kind of ties in like...
Yeah, I think you're tapping into...
Cyro Nordic than Cyro Merrick.
Yeah, you're tapping into a lot of Kirkbrightian stuff there. But yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So cool
not
stuff.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not that there's anything wrong with it. It just gets super wacky. but
just getting all Lotus.
I tried to leave some of the more complex stuff, only the more grounded things that I could realistically see like Bethesda putting in just a radiant lore book in the next game. Things that aren't too over the top, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I got you. Well, very cool stuff. Are you going to do like a Professor Baelius speech on this one of these concepts or this concept?
I get through, the first plan is going to be going through the basic timeline and getting a baseline of a lot of this information before going in depth into certain topics. But that
totally understand.
100% on the list once I get up to around the Marikati Selective era of the first era and when I go more in depth to the history.
Yeah. I gotcha. Well, cool, man. Cool. All right. Well, we've got two other people to get to.
I want to say something quick about Akatosh, and I'll try to be quick.
Sure.
I find him to be very interesting that he seems to be one of the few Aedra or Divines or however you can classify him as kind of more of a social construct more than the other Divines. Because before the first dragon break, before the Alessian rebellion, all that, there wasn't any written record of him ever existing, really. It was always Ariel this, Ariel that. And then they just decided to make a new god. And before that, like, there was no written existence of Akatosh ever existing. So he's more of a social construct than any other god at all. I'm not saying he is fake, but he probably is as much of a divine as the rest. But it's just interesting how much of it was just to...
It's in the same way that Talos was considered a divine. It's
less so,
it's an interpret. I'd say more, it's... Yeah, I agree with you. I'm just saying, yeah. I think that it works as in the cultural understanding of a certain aspect and the way it's interpreted as a being... being translated to one of these gods they worship is very similar.
But I don't want to keep too much longer because we already spent enough time on it. But that, I just find that to be interesting.
Same thing with Raymond.
Right.
Yeah.
He was so deified. I know what you mean.
So, Rob, do you want to go? You want to go next?
Sure. Yeah.
Akatosh. No, I'm kidding.
For anyone watching the video, it's always pretty easy to guess what I'm about to talk about because I try to incorporate a background when I can. And behind
I was just talking about her husband.
Yeah, I was really enjoying the background you had prepped for this one.
Yes, good old Kine, or Kinnereth, or Kinarthi, or Tava, technically. I'm not really picky on the specific iteration, but I am a really big fan of this god. I love
Kiss
my
at the end. That's another name. I was trying to remember it.
Yeah,
that's the old one.
An alias for one of the iterations, I think. But yeah, and she really does embody so much. And it's interesting how, especially in the Nordic pantheon, but it seems like a lot of the Mannish pantheons before the Imperial influence really honed in on them. They all, at first, the word I want to say is matriarchal for their pantheon, but that's not quite the right word. It's more maternal than anything. They have a very maternal outlook on a lot of their pantheon. And Kine, Kinnereth, whatever, is the mother of these ones, which is interesting because you'd think Mara would represent that more than anything. But in most of the iterations, she is the lead. She's the wife of Shor or Lorcan or the handmaiden, whatever, or not handmaiden. Mara is a handmaiden. And so it's interesting that, you know, she represents a motherhood to the gods, and then Mara is like motherhood to the people. But then on the same note, like in the Nordic religion, she's the Kine is the creator of the Nordic people and all of the animals in there. So it's like she is more of a mother than Mara. And she's also the one who leads several of the religions, the Khajiit religion, all of the Nordic religion. She's the one who leads them to their death. So no need for RK. We got the death god already. No need for the mother god. We got that already. Like,
so just get rid of all of them. We'll just worship Kine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She is the, like the girl boss for sure.
Yeah. What do you think about the whole wife of Shor Lorcan thing?
I think that's a way to have a character that was already interesting, and they're like, oh, but it's not a man. We need to make an interesting man instead. And so they just made her the wife of the next interesting god. I think they should have kept her at the forefront.
Well, I mean, it's kind of, so
can
when
I provide a counterpoint to that, actually,
when you real quick, just let me just say something. When you oftentimes when you hear that, like, so-and-so is the wife of some other deity, it's not just a like a marriage male-female thing. It's a way of associating them more closely than saying that they were, you know, they're both just part of the same pantheon, or even if they're both siblings. The wife, like, you choose your spouse. And so the idea that, like, she is closely tied to Shor in a very fundamental kind of way, and yet Shor's no longer around, but she is. It's there's an importance there, I think, that's implied by that, and a similarity to Shor, even if Shor doesn't, you know, isn't supposed to still be around or whatever.
But if anything, I think the better approach would have been for her to be an incarnation of Lorcan herself. That would have, I think, because being like the chief deity, it would have tied it in more, as opposed to making her like the second hand to the you know, the favorite managed god of all time.
Yeah Professor, but you were gonna chime in with something.
I was gonna say, I think that fundamentally them being completely separate entities to begin with, but Kinnereth or Kine, whatever we're gonna go with, finding purpose in the acting as the skies and the nature and the weather of the mortal realm that Lorcan created, with the whole essentially him giving her purpose by that, or understanding that I'm going with there, makes a whole lot of sense for why it would seem like more of a, not, I don't want to say give and take, but more like,
it's like a symbiotic relationship.
Symbiotic.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're getting at. I can see that. Yeah.
I think as a duo, they work very well.
And I don't want to sound too bitter about that whole thing. I think personally I would have found it more interesting for her to be hold the sole main role. But I think the pairing with her and Shor is an interesting pairing altogether.
To be fair though, it is pretty badass that she's essentially being the single mom for the entire Nordic race. Come on. That's, you got to give her credit there. That's
not
pretty
just
awesome.
The Nordic race. When she put her breath onto the mountain, she,
the throat of the world. Yeah.
She created all life. She created all animals, all the plants, all of the Nord men, menish people, not men specifically, right, but yeah, right. Like
mankind.
She created everything, and it's just, that seems more like a Lorcan role than having just a second entity to represent that instead. That was just I realized my initial response sounded a bit bitter, and I didn't want it to come out that way.
You're fine.
It did.
You're
it
fine.
All. I follow what you mean, man. You're like, you're putting it very well.
Yeah. No, that's cool. I like this perspective. This is really cool.
I would like to ask you one thing though. Do you really subscribe to the very literal description of breathing life onto the throat of the world and like creating the Nords as the children of the sky?
I mean, like, do I believe that that's what happened? Is that what you mean?
Are you choosing to go with that?
Are you a literalist? Are you a very,
or how are you going to go about that? Because I have my way I interpret that, but I'd like to hear.
Are you a kind evangelical?
I think that Kinnereth or Kyn or whatever you want to call her is the most important deity in the entire Auerbrus as a whole. But I don't necessarily think that all of the stories about her are 100% true. So, no, I wouldn't say that exactly, but every story is based in truth. So, to an extent, yes, she did have some part in creating them, and she probably had some extent into giving the Nord the ability to use the Thum. And
that's the way I interpreted it. I assumed the power, like, the breathing of the seas life
and all of that.
That's the way I interpreted it. Like the whole breathing life onto the throat of the world is in Skyrim itself, the original, like at Morin's, the difference between the clarification. I think that we're sort of on the same page there.
Yeah. Usually it comes down to more figurative thing than it is literal, but it's fun for a population to believe literally that happened because it's easier to picture. That's typically the way the stuff works.
hold on. So, I just want to embrace the archetypes of why I like her so much. I was an edgy goth teenager, so she embraces the Grim Reaper aspect.
Whoa. So I think you meant to say Sithis.
No, Sithis is garbage.
Sithis
is like the goth band that you don't like. Wait, and you're like, no, those guys Sithis are lame.
It's just like the grandpa, essentially. It's like her father-in-law.
It all makes sense when it ties together. So I got my goth years and my teenage years, and she is effectively the Grim Reaper. She is the god that, guides these people to the afterlife. She's the psychopomp of death. She is the Grim Reaper. And so it's kind of, death culty and interesting in that way. But then also, I love my pirates. Pirates are cool as hell. Love that aesthetic. Love that look. And she is the goddess of the storms, the goddess of the seas, the goddess of the winds. The sailors worship her and pray for her mercy when they go to sail. Like, she is the pirate god as well. And that ties in really nicely. And on top of that, just the perfect trifecta. She is the hippie god, the nature god, the one who created all life and is the reason why animals are such beautiful creatures and everything's so beautiful in nature and green. Mm. Like, tie all three of those together into one god. How are you going to choose anyone else?
Beautiful, beautiful. Somebody needs to do the what's a pirate's favorite letter joke.
I refuse.
well said, Rob. Very cool stuff. Let's move on. We've got one more.
I had one question though.
It's the C. R, but it's not R, it's the C.
I want to know, Rob, how do you feel about the Thum just kind of being arguably kind of shafted by the lore added in Skyrim being related to the dragon cult and all that? Do you feel that I feel like you'll probably agree with me, but do you agree that it would have been a lot better if it was just like a breath thing, like purely Kyn, the air that she represents going into the Nords and coming out?
Who's to say both can't be true? Every story is based in truth, and I think it is still true, but in a realistic way, she gave the ability by sending Parthenax to them. If you want to look at a Christian standpoint, there's always oh God, why didn't you send me the help I needed? And it's like, oh, you rejected all the help. I sent you the doctor. I sent you all this. Like that, there's that Christian story that does the same thing. Kyn may not have directly given them that meat, but they gave, Kyn gave the men the means to learn the Thum by introducing the dragons to their culture. So both can be true.
I like that.
Yeah. That's a fair way to put it, I think.
Well said.
Changed my opinion.
Well said, Rob. Well said. All right. Well, we need to move on to Siege Bro because he's been waiting. Siege Bro.
Yes.
Siege Bro.
Don't disappoint me with Sithis, please.
I do want to say I really like Bayless's lecture, and I think Rob had a very good set of points about Kyn. That was awesome to hear about.
Awesome.
Let me explain to you why I'm Nord-pilled. Just give me one second.
So your camera stopped working.
Yeah, this camera's been paused for a little bit.
Yeah, and the audio is a little bit spiky, but just...
It's your boy, Heimskier, and I'm here to tell you... Oh.
This is even better.
All but maggots rising in the filth compared to Talos. You like... Sithis, it's not the second age anymore, man. You like Shore? It's your grandpa's religion. You like Akatosh? Whack. His son Alduin? Whack. Everything about him is whack. He's not even the creator in his own creation story. Talos is where it's at, man.
That's amazing.
This is amazing.
Siege, what's so great about this is that for some reason your connection is like laggy, and it was just you sitting there on the couch smiling while we heard your voice, and then all of a sudden the camera starts working again, and you're in a robe, like
that was the preaching at us. Timing for your camera to readjust from the lag, because it literally looked like it was paused, and then like for dramatic effect, it was just like boom, perfect cut to
it's
you.
It's a blessing from Talos.
That is amazing.
Like, praise be.
Yeah. So yeah.
For anybody who's not watching the video version of this, you have missed absolute gold.
Go to Elder Scrolls Lorecast on YouTube. This will be up on YouTube. Go check it out.
Do the plug.
Yeah, yeah. Go check it out. Siege Bro, you might want to, yeah, I think it's frozen again. You might want to turn off the camera part so that we can at least hear what the rest you're going to say, the rest of what you're going to say, but without it like messing up.
Yeah, his connection's a bit rough, but that was amazing. Yeah.
Are you
Thank
still,
you so much.
That was the best thing that's ever Are happened
you
on the show.
Still there?
Oh my God, I hope he's here still.
He's just, he's again, just sitting
there. Told me it didn't drop after that.
The camera's gone.
All right, we'll give him a minute.
Yeah,
maybe let's just all talk about how cool that was for a second.
That was so
awesome.
Amazing.
I want him on my show when I talk about like the triad that makes up like Talos. Because that was amazing.
That was Gig, such a curveball.
Gig in chat says he's been taken out by the Dark Brotherhood. Hey, Siege, are you there?
Chad.
Are you there?
Hey, you're back.
Are you back? I think it's still chest? Lagging.
Oh no, no, I'm just that still, man. I'm just that still.
You're just that still. Go ahead and turn off your camera. I think it'll fix the bandwidth issue, and then you can talk, and we won't get any interruptions.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, now you sound
but
good.
The camera's stuck. But yeah, so okay, so Talos, God, right?
Amazing. We need to can stop the visual overloading our brains.
Yeah, we can hear you. Okay, so go on. Tell us more about this. Who is this Talos you're talking about? Oh no, are we losing connection again? Oh, that was so epic for us to be like.
Oh my God,
for it to be ruined.
That's such a letdown. That's
I was gonna say that was
tragic.
So masterfully done. I'm like crushed.
Maybe.
Flying, I'm hoping you guys can hear now.
Oh, now like he sounds like a robot. Yeah, he's like a dying robot. Maybe you can disconnect and reconnect.
It was so anticlimactic.
I know, right?
That was so good.
Now I feel bad for not dressing up. I was going to be in costume. Now, crap.
So was I.
Next time.
No.
Yeah, robot warning in chat.
Next time.
Well, I told him to disconnect and reconnect. Let's see if it fixes.
Yeah, maybe it'll resync when he joins.
Yeah, sometimes that just fixes it enough.
But while he's gone, right, we can Siege talk Bro. Crap about Talos. All right.
We can talk crap about Talos. Siege Bro, you're back. Siege Bro is connecting to audio.
Crap. I mean, Talos is great.
Talos is wonderful. Siege Bro.
Fingers
there you
crossed.
Go. Is it working better? Looks just like it might be working better. All right.
Am I back? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Much better.
The video is a little sketchy. Turn the video off and then.
I've taken enough time. I just want to say you like DiBella, you like Mara. It's for milk drinkers and poets. I won't even acknowledge the magician's name because I don't know it because I'm freaking ignored.
Awesome. Awesome.
It just
Dude.
Keeps getting better.
It just keeps getting better. Do you have any more? Do you want to give us more stuff or is that it?
How do you feel about the fact that Talos wasn't in the Nord Pantheon at any point ever?
Yeah, actually, that's pretty base.
You see
good
this?
Point.
You see this?
Is he going to throw it?
He got some milk. He's throwing a milk. He's throwing a gallon of milk around.
Yeah.
Wow.
Giga Chad.
Wow. All right. Well, I'm not arguing with him. I'm going to get
Siege
beamed
bro, can I
by
just
a.
Ask you one question.
Giga. What?
Siege bro, I have a question for you.
Please go ahead.
What about the fact that Talos is an imperial god?
Talos, Septum, who cares? We, you know what? Like I said, Shore is grandpa's religion. You know, they got their strength from racism, provable fact with Wulthred.
Shore is all about uniting humanity as a whole. Doesn't matter if you're a Red Guard, Imperialist. We're a little sketchy on the Bretons, but we'll see.
How do you feel about the Altmer?
Their blood goes great on Uthrad.
Yeah.
I was thinking more Akulakon, but or no, that'd be the Anuminium, but
did you just say Altmer?
I just got real close to the camera. Wow.
I don't know what you drank before this cast, Siege Bro, but you should be drinking.
Probably a lot of mead.
I just want to say that Siege Bro officially wins the Patreon chat.
Yeah, I was going to have it with the rant.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
Blessings of Talos.
No, why?
Upon thee.
He's turning into a robot again. Blessings of Talos upon you.
He's
too
powerful,
Siege Bro.
For this mere camera, this mere mortal camera
I
to
think,
capture.
Yeah, I think the show has peaked. I think that's going to do it for today's episode. We can't do better than this. This is it. This is
Tom Quibble, you're ahead.
Oh, yeah,
this is the last episode.
We're wrapping it up.
You're
the show's done
from here, man.
but in all seriousness, guys, thank you for joining me. This has been super fun. We're gonna wrap this up. Each of you will have a chance to share whatever you're doing or ways people can reach out to you. But first, Lotus, thanks for joining us for a Patreon chat.
Question though, did we miss Falcon?
We got Falcon. Falcon talked about Sithis.
Sithis. That's why.
Yeah,
it was just a blur of Sithis at the start.
Yeah,
he was just a Sithis crowd.
A lot of Sithis.
Yeah, they all just went with a more boring version of mine.
Real quick, what are your guys' choices? Robots and Lotus.
What are our choices?
Yeah,
I'm so bad at picking favorites. I didn't really come up with
mine. Would go on for a while, so I'll just give you a synopsis. We can do a lore episode on it at some point, but it's the Ideal Masters.
Oh, that's such a good one.
Yo.
You just blew his mind.
So we'll have to do a full we can do an actual lore cast on the Ideal Masters, just because theoretically there's not that much on them, but there's a lot on them at the same time.
It's weird. Lore.
It's gonna have to be the next episode.
Oh, yeah, Battle Smash.
Okay, after he finishes the Daedric Princes.
Yeah, right? we still got to get through the Daedric Princes. We're getting closer. There's a bunch of them.
Yeah. Tom, lightning round. What is, you know?
Oh God, I'm so bad at picking favorites.
Any three.
Oh God. Yeah, I just don't. I don't even know.
Quick, everybody,
Tuwaka.
Tom.
Tuwaka. All right. God of Nobody Cares, isn't that what it is?
I mean, that seems very on brand.
There you go.
Look, I don't even care. Tuwaka.
I don't even care. Tuwaka. Like, Tuwaka. Tuwaka. Yeah, Ebon Arm. Who even remembers him anymore?
Stuff that nobody remembers.
Yeah, anymore. Nobody remembers Ebon Arm. And just the void itself, not even Sithis.
Padme, neat.
Just big empty space.
Yeah, just big empty space. But guys, thank you for joining me. This has always been the height of my month every week. Every month, every week. Every week, I dream about the height of my month.
Tom,
we got to
have words. Words.
He's losing his mind. Siege Bro is just too much for his brain.
It's just too much. Siege Bro Talos overwhelmed me. I'm verklempt. But thank you for joining me, everybody. This has been super awesome. Let's go back through everybody. Ben, you got anything cool going on? I know you do.
Oh, I got a lot of cool things going on. I am one of the hosts for Holocron Histories, one of the shows on the Robots Radio Network. We go over all things Star Wars, the lore, going over canon and legends. My Patreon chat is tomorrow, so if you want to feel free, jump in there. We do live shows 8 p.m. We are going to go over our best fights in the Star Wars universe.
Nice. Nice. What's the channel? Mm-hmm. What's the channel name people want to
just
tune in?
Holocron Histories on YouTube and Twitch.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, and then I'm taking your spot on Monday's Witcher Lorecast.
That's right. I'm going out of town next week. I will be on a boat for like most of the week. And so Ben is filling in as co-host for me for the Witcher Lorecast on Monday night. So if you're into The Witcher and you want to check that show out, go for it. And check it out live here on the Robots Radio channel. You'll see Ben and Toasty talking about, I don't know. I don't even know if I know what the topic is.
Bestiary.
I just know it's a beast.
Oh yeah, it's a bestiary. That's right.
That's all I know.
That's right. Yeah. So yeah, have fun with that. But that's awesome. All right, Rob, you got anything going on?
Yeah. I'm not like media stuff, but I, you know, I am the one of the guild officers for the Lorecasters Guild on ESO and the PC Guild. And funnily enough, the White Streaks Mayhem event started today. And
today.
So after this podcast, we're going to be running around Cyrodiil, killing
murdering elves. Fools. Killing elves, specifically?
Yeah.
We don't like the AD. That's it.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's an elf on every alliance, so safely you can say you're killing elves regardless of what alliance you're on. But
that's true. That's true.
But yeah. Also, always try to give a shout out to the Sky Oblivion project, as I am a dev on that one. If you are interested in getting that project done, if you want to help out, even if you don't have any experience, reach out to me, reach out to, you know, go to skyblivion.com, I think is the website. Find out how you can help. There's plenty of help needed there, regardless of your level of expertise. What else was there? I think that might have been it. You know, I guess, you know, Rob the Princess, catch me at Discord, Twitter, sometimes play some ESO with me and join the guild and we can go kill elves together.
Awesome. Harmony together, killing things. Wonderful. T-Rex, thanks for joining us again.
Yeah.
You got anything going on? Anything? Share.
I moved and I got a new computer, so I had to re-download ESO. And I'm also an elf. Please don't kill me. And
no promises.
After this, I'm probably going to go to bed.
Nice.
So, well, yeah, that's awesome. That's what I got going on.
Yeah, enjoy that new computer
tonight.
Oh, and yeah, I'm in the Discord and on Twitter and stuff, T-Rex.
Very cool. Professor, Lord Professor. What do you got going on?
we can stop that part.
Can I just call you Lord?
Just please.
I feel like Lord. Stop. Lord Professor Lord. Is now three. A commitment.
I like it. Captain, Lord Captain Professor. Lord Professor Captain, which order does that go in?
Okay.
Captain, it's gonna become a toasty Lord thing.
I want to, can we just keep like the professor, that's all I want for this. I have like a million stupid nicknames in like the rest of life. The Lord thing, that's like a meme I have at work. I don't want to bring that home.
The more this bothers you, the more I want to keep doing it.
Yeah, you're turning this in, like, I don't know if you watched the
I am an older sibling. Yeah, I am an older sibling. So by my nature, if it bothers you, then he's just going to stare.
He's just going to simplify.
All right, let's move on to Falcon.
Pro. It's not even professor anymore. This is like, no, we need less letters. We're down to just pro.
So where can people tune in your stuff, Professor? I was nice that time.
Thank you. Professor Bayless on everything. I just wanted to say, the plan is next Monday. Well, yeah, next Monday, not the one in 5 days.
Uh-huh, right, the one upcoming.
I plan on streaming the recording of the first episode for my lectures classes because
nice.
I want to have an opportunity for anyone interested. So you could raise your hand in class and just come in and chat and ask a question.
Very cool.
Stuff like that.
Where can they tune in? What's the channel name?
It's Professor Bayless on literally everything.
Professor spelled as it always is
Baelus.
Got it.
Like bae.
Nice and easy.
Like, that's my bae.
That's my bae. I love that prof.
Did I ruin that for you?
Such a bae. He's leaving. He's just gone. All right, Falcon, you got anything else you want to share?
If I was 21, I'd say you guys are going to make me drink.
Go ahead, Falcon.
Over the last, like about 2 weeks ago, I started work on a game, and so I'm going to go on that. I'm going to make a like Twitter and stuff for it when it's at a comfortable state.
Nice. So this is like your own indie project?
Yeah. Awesome. I've made a few before. And yeah.
Very cool. Do you have a name for it yet?
I don't have a name, but the basic premise is that you are, say you are three, body, self, and mind, and that is three separate characters that interact with each other.
Wow.
Oh, interesting. All right.
Okay. Man, you'll have to share more of this as it comes along in development. Definitely share some stuff for us to take a look at.
You gave us so much information, yet so little information.
That's a lot, very little information when you think about it.
Yeah, I don't know what that actually means.
More questions than you gave any answers.
Yeah, in the terms of like gameplay. Sorry, go ahead. What, Rob? What was that?
Oh, I was like, what kind of brownies are you eating?
What kind of brownies? I think we know.
It's mushrooms.
I think we know. So, well, thanks for joining us, Falcon. Is there a way people can plug in to see what else, like, as this comes along?
I'm Falcon of a Box on any social media, but like I said, once that game's at a comfortable state, it's going to have like a separate Twitter, which
cool.
I will, you know, I'll give when it happens.
Awesome.
We'll be Falcon with a Box off.
Off, yes. Oh,
nice.
Falcon is out of the box.
Out of the box. Come on out of the box, Falcon. Well, thanks for joining us.
And then the cats like to get in the boxes.
Oh boy. Siege Bro is left. Siege Bro, is your audio working all right?
I hope it is.
It is. It is. Hey. Awesome. Awesome. Okay. You got anything going on you want to share?
No plugins, no pronouns, do not refer to me. blessings of the divine upon you, and Baja be thy blast.
Mm, mm-hmm.
Hey, looking nice. Spark gang.
Man, there's so many flavors. Based. There's so many flavors. I really like I think Spark is the one that I like the most, too.
The raspberry lemonade?
No, that one's okay. I think Spark. Spark's my favorite.
That's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know. I'm agreeing with you. I'm debating in my own mind, but I'm landing on that as well. I'm like, yeah, I think you're right. I think I like that one too.
For me, it's either Spark or Code Red.
Yeah, both of those are good. Anyway, welcome. Welcome to the end of the show, everybody. My brain is fried.
We did it, everyone.
We did it. Lotus, you got anything you want to share?
Siege Rose for genius.
Yeah, once Talos shows up, there's just, you know, who knows. Lotus, I know you've got Tales of Tamriel.
Yeah, and I'm Lotus of Doom wherever. It's very easy to track me down if you actually need to.
There you go. And I'm Robots, or you can look up Robots Radio because that's the podcast network and everything else that I'm doing out there. And that's what we got going on this week, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you guys next time. And if there's not a show next week, then I apologize. I'm on a boat. I'll see what I can do to knock something out, but there may not be one. But
just pre-record me and Rob having a long chat about Akatosh and Shore and allows like dualities.
There you go. You guys record that, send it to me, and then we'll see if it makes it on the feed or not. But thank you for joining. This has been super fun.
Foresight to the wall.
It was just not going to do it. All right. We'll see you guys next time. Stay safe out there. Bye, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to hear from you. You can reach me on Twitter at robots_radio or Lotus of Doom at Lotus of Doom. Also, you can join us on the Robots Radio Discord channel. You can easily just search Robots Radio Discord on Google or check the description underneath the podcast. Also, this podcast is recorded live every week on Thursday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on the Robots Radio channels on Twitch, YouTube, and on Facebook. So just search Robots Radio on any of those platforms. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you while we record the show, or before or after. Either way, just come hang out with us. And if you're looking for more information about my shows and the shows on the Robots Radio Network, go to robotsradio.net for all the information about all the shows on the network, including the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where I help both new and existing podcasters to grow their shows, build their audiences, and create the best podcast they possibly can. All of that at robotsradio.net. We'll see you next time.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 2 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.